on Steve Dale's Other World, I like to bring you sort of behind the scenes, and we talk about unique stories. Here is one, not only a unique story, but in some ways an unlikely story about an animal shelter created by a woman in San Francisco in Puerto Vallarta that it turns out is much more than an animal shelter, but a sanctuary for animals. And homes are found in impressive numbers for these animals, greatly going to the United States and going to Canada. A volunteer with that facility from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, is Nicole Martin. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, buenos dias, everybody.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Hola.
Well, this is an incredible story, really, of this woman who went to Puerto Vallarta, still lives there, still operates and runs the sanctuary, which we're talking about. But she said, you know, Nicole really should do the radio. She might be better at talking on the radio about this. So here you are talking about the story, which I think I described it as an unlikely story, and it kind of is.
Well, it is an unlikely story, and it's an honor for you to contact us, and it's an honor for me to be able to talk a little bit about the SPCA in Puerto Vallarta. It was founded in 2007 by Janice Chatterton, originally from San Francisco, but the sanctuary, Steve, that you visited last year officially opened last January of 2012. It's a no-kilter sanctuary. We don't like to use the word shelter. We like to use the word sanctuary. It currently can house up to, I think, almost 150 animals at one time, cats and dogs. And just last week, we received our first donkey.
Yeah, I'll get to all that. So here's this woman that moves, and she wasn't even full-time yet, I don't think, in Puerto Vallarta, when she saw the need to help animals there. And this is a woman who herself never had a pet in her life, and she began to get involved in the local community, and she quickly realized that the culture is just, and I want to be careful because it's important for me to say, yes, we perceive it as worse in the way the animals are treated, and they are treated in some cases worse, but the culture is just different, which explains that treatment.
Absolutely. Well, Mexico is still a developing country, and there's social issues. So many people come from very low income situations. So their pets are not always put as a priority. I'm originally from Canada, came to Mexico in 1989. I'm now a Mexican citizen. I'm a cat rescuer. Since I came to Puerto Vallarta, there was nobody that could help me with cat rescue. There are many small associations doing some wonderful work, but the SPCA really is like the Mercedes-Benz of sanctuaries in Latin America, I believe.
Well, I would believe it holds up against many in the United States as well, too. And
many persons who have toured agree with that. Indoor, outdoor, surround sound, every animal has access to grass or tiles. It's just a beauty.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. So these animals are rescued and brought to the sanctuary from where?
Well, they are brought to the sanctuary. Just this morning, I had a girlfriend. There was a dog that was hit outside of a grocery store. She was scrambling around trying to get contact. I know she contacted Janice or her assistant, and the animal, somebody's en route to pick up that animal. Every day, there are dozens of inquiries of people finding an animal abandoned on the street. Somebody might say, I'm about to have a baby. I no longer want my dog. There's just many, many different kinds of situations. So it's a lot of abuse and abandonment. There's a lot of people that will tie up a dog outside their house, and that dog will be there 3 months later hanging for dear life with a cord around the neck. Some of the stories are really very, very, very upsetting. And on our fan page, you can see the success stories, which we just love, the before and after. And
let's offer one of those stories. So tell me about, I think the dog's name is Holly. Is that right?
Holly. really is a success story. If everybody could have the homework of going to facebook.com, SPCAPV, there is an album for every animal that has been rescued. Holly, the animal that you personally met, she's a wonderful story. I would love everybody to have a look at Holly's album, Byron's album. There's probably about 100 dogs that are that style of severe abuse and abandonment, but just see how Holly arrived to the SPCA sanctuary and see where Holly is living. She landed a home that I would like to move in with that family. She was so lucky. So we're finding homes.
Let's
in, majority, sorry.
No, that's okay. I apologize. Let's tell that story on the radio, and they say radio is theater of the mind, so let's describe.
Okay. Let's what?
Let's describe. You know, so Holly came in how?
Holly came in and she was binded around the hips. Who knows how long the rope had been on her hips for, but the rope had been actually punctured into her skin. So it was growing inside her body. We've heard that the reason why the dog was bound up was for mating purposes. When she was found, nobody could believe that she would actually survive. She was hanging on the edge. Actually, she had a 24-hour cuddler, somebody to take care of her 24 hours.
Well, I think that Holly also had a tick disease and also had tumor of some sort. So she was not only had this rope that had pierced her skin. I mean, I don't want to get too graphic here because I don't want to turn people off. But, I mean, it was horrible. And on top of it was ill from disease that she was not on a tick preventive. And in addition to that, had a tumor that needed to be removed, which was done. And let's pick it up from there. So she had, at the SPCA Puerto Vallarta, there's a unique role that I've never even heard of at another facility where volunteers come in and their sole job is to cuddle.
Yes, absolutely. Besides volunteers cuddling, the SPCA has full-time staff that are strictly dedicated to cuddling. We do need more consistent daily volunteers. We have a lot of snowbirders coming to Puerto Vallarta, but they don't have a vehicle. So our dream is, me as I assist in getting people to the sanctuary, our dream is having someone donate a van, the SPCA van that can be used for rescue or that can be used for transporting. Ideally, it would be great if we could have tours on a daily basis. One out of 10 persons that goes to the SPCA facility eventually converts into either being a foster home in Canada or the United States, someone who may be able to contribute, or somebody who might just be able to share stories. So we really need people to visit the sanctuary and to visit Puerto Vallarta, of course, which is one of the best destinations in all of Mexico.
Indeed it is. So let's get back to Holly. So here's this dog that had the rope literally pierced through her, as you described, had other problems as well. Cuddler comes in, but of course a cuddler cannot fix the medical problems. So there was surgery for the tumor, there was treatment for the tick disease, there was rehab, and in fact there's a whirlpool on the facility. So just like if you were yourself going for rehab, same sort of thing, the rehab here. And it took a while, didn't it? But now where's Holly?
Holly is in, has won a wonderful home, and the rehabilitation area, we actually call it the Lido deck, like a love boat. So Holly is living her forever life with a wonderful family. She's in Canada, and she won the lottery, and they also won the lottery because these animals, they have broken souls. Many of our animals, they might have issues. And I'm actually opening Holly's album right now as we speak, and I can tell you exactly where Holly is, just so we have it for the record.
Sure.
She is living in Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
And Holly has a fur sibling, and she's enjoying, well, hiking on a daily basis. And many animals would be very lucky to have a home like Holly achieved.
And how many animals have been saved? Dogs primarily, but cats for sure as well, by the
Absolutely.
SPCA.
Oh, I would say almost over 1,000.
Yeah.
2,000 and...
Yeah,
yes,
pretty
over 1,000.
And we're talking about just a couple of years. That's pretty incredible. And the truth is they're not adopted back for the most part. Some are. But for the
most part, very, very few returns. I mean, the majority of our animals are going, I know this is a United States channel, but the majority of our animals are going to British Columbia and Alberta. Why? In Canada, the sanctuaries, they don't have a lot of, there's not a lot of animals. There's more animals in the United States. So if you were to walk into an SPCA in Vancouver and want a small poodle, you're not going to find one. So we've really, in Canada, we've sent a lot of animals to Canada. Yes, many to the United States, but there are fewer animals in shelters in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Let me hear your story. Why am I talking to you about this? How did you end up in Puerto Vallarta?
How did I get to Puerto Vallarta?
Yeah.
I came in 1989 with my mother on a vacation. We fell in love with Puerto Vallarta, and we just wound up staying. So many years later, we're still here in Puerto Vallarta. I have 12 cats. I assist with the SPCA with tours and a little bit of social media.
Uh-huh.
And it's a paradise. It's wonderful. And I had the chance of meeting you last year, taking you to the sanctuary to visit it. And so that's how that happened.
You know, so the sanctuary is not without its criticism. So in Puerto Vallarta, I believe the criticism is you're moving too fast for us, essentially. I mean, you're talking about spay neuter. You're talking about saving all of the animals. And in a culture that isn't quite ready to be pushed, but I'll tell you, you're pushing anyway, and I believe making a difference. But again, anytime an organization of any kind comes in and says, okay, we're doing this at our pace, there's going to be some criticism, isn't there?
Absolutely. There's going to be a lot of criticism. Well, the founder of the Puerto Vallarta SPCA, she makes sure that the animals go to the best of best homes possible. So many people are very angry because many homes are rejected. Why? They might not be at home sufficient hours during the day. They might not be up to the standards that the SPCA Puerto Vallarta has. If you are granted an SPCA animal, it means that you're a ready animal owner. You're ready to give a broken soul a home.
And the other criticism might come from shelters in Canada or the U.S. who would say, why do you need to import when we have them here? But a part of that criticism you've answered, really, because...
Well, compassion has no boundaries.
That's it.
There's an animal in need, compassion should have no boundaries. People bring animals from all over the world, and...
That's one thing, and I agree with you about that, Nicole. The animals have done nothing wrong, but in addition to that... The reality is not every community has what the people in the community want. And you mentioned it. I mean, so if you live in certain places, in America too, as mm-hmm. well certainly as certain places in Canada for sure, that little white fluffy dog just isn't available at the shelter that is in your community.
Absolutely, absolutely not. And we have so many tourists that come to Puerto Vallarta to visit the SPCA sanctuary, and they'll adopt right there in that moment. And they have the interview with the founder, with Janice Chatterton herself. And if green light is given, that animal, if it has a clean bill of health, passes all of the correct steps and testing, it gets a letter from the vet translated into English, and that animal is on a plane earning its first frequent flyer miles back to the United States or Canada.
Well, as you've said, you've saved over 1,000, which in a short period of time is pretty incredible. And Puerto Vallarta is not, I mean, it's a well-known community, but it's not really that large. So to save that many animals is pretty impressive. But it's also the facility itself. So you mentioned a couple things, and I want to make a point of this because I think it's really important. When we think of animal shelters, very often we think of a facility where there are corridors or runs, as they may be called, mm-hmm. and you walk down sort of a hallway, and on one side there's a cage, on another side there's a cage, on one side there's a cage, on another side there's a cage, and they're kind of small. Here, yes, there are cages, but they're not kind of small, in part because the climate allows, but in part because this is how the place was built. There's an indoor area, and should they decide to go outside, there's an outdoor
area. Absolutely.
And also,
this outdoor area, and there's new property that has been acquired surrounding, and I have heard through the grapevine that a potential hospice facility will commence.
Yes, which is, again, cutting edge. I mean, we don't even have that in America, but you're ahead of me. So the animals have the enriching choice as to whether they want to be indoors or whether they want to be outdoors. The dogs that are social, which are most dogs, are not kept alone. Another dog, or sometimes two or three other dogs, are kept, and it's not overcrowded. It's within the standards that are similar in America. So it's not
overcrowded.
Right. So it's not that they're kept in a small space, but what you guys feel, and I agree, is the dogs do better when there are companion dogs, you know?
Absolutely. And the mentor program is in place. A lot of puppies are abandoned, and we always have many, many mother dogs that can take on those puppies and mentor mommy. And it's so beautiful to see these abandoned puppies. We'll find puppies by the river in plastic bags, puppies in the garbage, kittens dumped, it's horrible. But the mentor program works. Animals, their personalities are defined, and they're always matched up with a good group of, well, first siblings. So no animal is alone.
And I want to continue to describe the facility a bit. So you mentioned very quickly, but I want to be sure people hear this. You sometimes hear barking, of course, but sometimes you don't at all. And maybe it's the surround sound music and the dogs want to hear the music too and they don't bark. I don't know. But the music seems to help calm things a little bit. It's
clean. Yeah, I think it has. Yeah. I think it's helped a little bit.
In addition to that, we mentioned the, what did you call it? The Lido deck. There's a spa area, if you will. But it's not really that. It has a serious purpose, and that's to help rehabilitate animals. There's a large outdoor area where the dogs can run, and they're taken out there. Of course, it's fenced in, and they're taken out there to do that. There are also dog walkers that volunteer to walk the dogs. The cats have an indoor-outdoor area with lots of climbing space. The outdoor area is protected against potential predators. Cats cannot get out. They're just in an area that's fenced in outdoors. Again, should they decide to go out, some cats may not, some cats might. It's all up to them. Choices are great, giving these cats. And their cats are together with other cats, too, which is socially, it's the right thing to do. So this place is incredible, and I want people to get some sort of sense for what we're talking about and what you've done with limited resources in Mexico. A full-time veterinarian is on staff. I mean, and there are shelters here that don't have full-time veterinarians. So all of
really?
That, yeah. So all of that is absolutely terrific. Now, you mentioned that there's going to be a hospice, which again is like thinking outside the box, because if a pet with special needs is for some reason not adopted, you take responsibility for that animal the rest of the animal's life.
Absolutely. The founder is, she does every effort to make sure animals are comfortable. We have many, many dogs that are paralyzed. And they have little wheelchairs. Janice Chatterton herself has people that have created wheelchairs. She'll keep going and keep trying for that perfect fit for the dog. Many of them just can't be adopted out. That perfect family just hasn't been found for some of these animals. So that's why this hospice area is needed. And hopefully we'll have a condominium there so there can be maybe eventually places where people, if they want to come and spend a couple of nights at the SPCA, that ideally would be something that I see to be a great success if it were to happen.
Oh, that's a cool idea. I like
volunteerism.
That.
And that's where you're staying next time you come to Puerto Vallarta. I guess you didn't know that.
I did not know. I would not be opposed to that idea either. So what attracts you to Puerto Vallarta?
What attracts me to Puerto Vallarta? Well, you're speaking to me. You're calling Garza Blanca, which is where I work. I live on the south side of Puerto Vallarta. Puerto Vallarta, different from other destinations in Mexico like Cancun, Cabo San Lucas, Puerto Vallarta has an old Mexico feel. There's culture in Puerto Vallarta. There's a wonderful community. We're 350,000 persons. Probably 30,000 of those people are foreigners. There's a wonderful union between foreigners and Mexicans. It's a place where you really feel safe and you feel at home. We have the mountain that meets the sea. So our jungles, or I mean, our mountainside is so divine. I'm looking right now at Los Arcos rocks. They're green. We have flora and fauna. I'm a pelican fan. Bird watching. There's a lot of conservation. Our bay has the whales just arrived. We have turtles, dolphins, everything in the wild, and we have just a community here. There is a real community for foreigners. I have a daughter. She goes to a wonderful school. She could go to. There's 10 other schools that are just as wonderful. We have something for everybody. For the elderly persons who are looking for retirement, we have. I think the medical care here is almost. People are caring. There's a doctor for any situation. You can get immediate attention here, different from say Canada, from where I am. So the medical options are here. You're treated very well. Domestic assistance, if you need assistance at home, it's affordable. Lifestyle, it's more affordable to live in Puerto Vallarta than say in Chicago or anywhere in Canada. So the quality of life is I feel better.
What about the safety? That's something I hear about a lot. People are concerned about going to Mexico for that reason.
Okay, well, there's been some horrible things that have happened at the border. Personally, here in Puerto Vallarta, I when I'm fostering an animal, I'll walk the dogs 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I feel perfectly safe. There are incidents. A tourist might come to Puerto Vallarta, drink too many margaritas, and you might have a horrible story on the newspaper the following day. So, in my opinion, it's a safe destination. I feel perfectly comfortable to walk in all neighborhoods. I'm all over the bay every day. We don't have many incidents, and it's a safe destination.
Yeah, it truly is, and I think that it's just as though you hear about the United States is actually probably the most violent country in the world, Mexico included.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you jumped on that. Yes.
The press blows everything up in the United States and Canada. They blow up any incident because it sells. And
it's Mexico's a big country. So
yes.
Because there are problems, and I think there are in certain regions, which happens to be greatly at the border between the United States and Mexico, but other places too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean the whole country is that way. So
absolutely
it's
not.
Like,
foreign investment is high. We're at like 30,000 persons that live in Puerto Vallarta. Probably 30% of those people would be property owners. That means they own a house, a condo, a villa, and they own property here. So our foreign investment is very, very strong. Obviously, the United States, people want people to spend money in the United States. So some press towards Mexico I do feel is a little bit unfair, but it's because they want this is probably a question I shouldn't be answering because I'm not a politician, but that's my opinion.
Well, no, but someone who lives there and is there obviously every day because you live there and you live your life every day, better off talking to you than a politician in some ways.
Okay. Well, if something happens here in Puerto Vallarta, that somebody maybe had an accident on a boat or a jet ski, you'll see it the next morning on the television, but really blown up in a bad way. Or every incident is blown up unproportionately.
Well, I think because they don't happen every day, you know, also.
Absolutely not.
And that's what makes, that's the definition of news, right?
Just like the hurricane that didn't happen, people actually thought the hurricane happened.
Yeah, I heard about that.
You know.
So I heard that people thought that this massive hurricane happily did not hit Puerto Vallarta, but was supposed to, and people thought that it did because it was supposed to. So did you see?
And we were perfectly fine, and the SPCA animals were all, we had a wonderful caravan of volunteers to move the animals to different locations because our facility is located next to a river. So all of the animals were removed from the SPCA, so precautions were taken.
Yeah, but it turned out they didn't need to be. But yeah, it's amazing.
They didn't need to be.
It's amazing how the community got together to do that. So, if you're looking for a pet, or just want to check out this really cool place as a model, really for what we could do. In some ways, we can learn from what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I have learned from what you're doing in Puerto Vallarta. It's pretty astounding. And or if you plan on going to Puerto Vallarta, can people visit the sanctuary?
Absolutely. We have, during high season, we have two tours every week. The location of the facility is not open to the public. So we meet at a parking lot of a local grocery store. And from there, people are briefed that the location of the sanctuary is confidential. Why? Because of animal dumpings. The address is not out there. The first visit must be escorted so that people obey to not ever share the address. Because if everybody knew where the SPCA was, the SPCA would have to close down tomorrow because there would be so many animals dumped on the front door that we cannot yet accommodate. One day maybe, but as of now, the address must stay confidential.
Well, it's a pretty incredible place. Congratulations to you. Certainly to Janice, the founder of SPCA Puerto Vallarta. Give us the Facebook page.
Okay, the Facebook page is facebook.com/SPCAPV. And I would love to ask everybody to quickly go in, if you have 5 minutes out of your workday, to look at the album section on the fan page. Pick an animal, read one of the stories, and share it yourself to your own Facebook wall. With that one click might not make a difference in your day, but it might make a difference in the lives of some other animals that you might help us find a home for.
And if your heart so allows, here's another facility that cannot do it alone, cannot do it without help. So feel free to help, whether it be volunteering a half a day just to tour through the facility if you happen to be in Puerto Vallarta, or helping by opening your wallet to help animals in need, whether they be in Mexico, United States, it doesn't much matter. You can help. Nicole, you've certainly done that, and I thank you very much for talking.
Well, thank you.
And one more thing.
Yes.
Hasta luego, señorita.
Hasta luego, Steve. Hasta la próxima. Woof.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.